Hello and welcome to the Finance Hours podcast. I'm your host Luke and I'm joined today by my co-host Polina.
Hey Luke, what have you got for us today?
So today I wanted to talk about Luckin Coffee. Now Luckin have only been around for 5 years and they've taken on many trophies. From the dynamicism of Chinese capitalism, subject to a huge fraud scandal, and potentially a comeback story to relist in the US. Founded in 2017, the coffee shop spread quickly across China, creating somewhat of a challenge to Starbucks. And just 2 years later, they floated on the Nasdaq, with a value reaching $13 billion. After a year of being listed on the Nasdaq, the company revealed that they had defrauded investors by faking all of $300 million of sales, and consequently, they were forced to delist and pay $180 million to settle charges from the US Securities and Exchange Commission. It was large investors like BlackRock and GIC who were stung by the scandal, but more importantly, it highlighted the failure of the Big Four auditors being unable to spot holes in company accounts. I think more critically, it became a trigger for political controversy over the presence of Chinese companies listing on US stock exchanges. Now, 2 years on, Luckin is hoping that regulators, politicians, and investors have forgotten. The coffee chain is taking an audacious comeback attempt that involves raising new capital, meeting with investors, and talking to advisors to realise their shares within a US stock exchange again. One thing to note is that Luckin has turned around pretty much everything apart from the name, specifically the business approach, the operations, and more importantly, the company culture, which was at the heart of these financial problems. Since the delisting, revenues have more than doubled, and they're up to $364.7 million year on year, given its latest quarterly earning report. They've also got around 500 more stores than Starbucks. So this kind of rapid growth story that investors initially bought into does appear to be coming back. $20 million of shares change hands in OTC transactions daily, and the market value climbed up more than $3 billion again after its shares lost a massive 90% in 2020. I think this is all best put in a question, and it's whether or not the fraud was hiding a permanently flawed business, or whether it was lying on top of something legitimate that had long-term viability. And I think we'll get the answer to this question over the coming year.
Amazon recruited 15,000 more British workers than it expected to last year as demand for home deliveries and digital services boomed during the pandemic. The surge in jobs at the US tech giant took overall staff numbers to 70,000 in the UK across warehouse and delivery teams, as well as corporate and research and development functions. Amazon, which has a market capitalization of $1.5 trillion, has engaged in global hiring spree in the effort to maintain delivery speeds and power the next stage of its enormous growth. The company has also pointed to its role as a huge creator of jobs, as its market power has come under scrutiny from regulators across the world. Amazon had previously announced that it would create 10,000 roles in the UK last year, with a target to reach 55,000 permanent employees. The total of 25,000 new UK jobs make it a record year for employment at the US group. It comes just a day after British retailer Tesco said it would cut more than 1,000 jobs as it faced rapidly rising labor costs. Amazon opened a parcel center and 4 fulfillment centers last year and expanded its delivery station network. Pay for operations roles has risen to £11.1 an hour in Greater London, up from £10.8 in June last year, and starting at £10 an hour in other parts of the UK. A sign-on bonus of up to £3,000 was offered at a number of locations to attract new permanent and seasonal workers last year, when the combination of COVID-related absences, Brexit, and a tight labour market caused a shortage of staff for many companies. The new jobs span offices and research and development centres in London, Manchester, Edinburgh and Cambridge in areas such as digital marketing, engineering, video production, AI and machine learning. Amazon's expansion in 2021 also included its first 17 physical shops in the UK. 15 Amazon Fresh Food stores in London and 2 Amazon 4-star retail stores in London and Kent. Amazon said it had invested £32 billion in the UK since 2010. In 2020, the total revenues from Amazon's activities in the UK were £20.6 billion, up from £13.7 billion the year before. It invested more than £1.6 billion against £690 million in 2019 in the UK to expand its operations network and infrastructure.
You're listening to the Finance Hours podcast, and up next, we've got our biggest winners and our biggest losers of the week.
Shares of Snapchat parent Snap was soaring Friday morning, up as much as 54.9% at one point before settling into a 45% gain. Of course, the stock had fallen more than 20% on Thursday in sympathy with other social media stocks amid lackluster earnings from a certain large peer. However, Snap defied expectations, smashing revenue and earnings expectations and giving strong guidance. For the fourth quarter, Snap reported sizzling 42% revenue growth to nearly $1.3 billion. Meanwhile, while Snap has long gathered hefty net losses, adjusted earnings per share came in at positive 22 cents versus expectations of just 10 cents. Fears have abounded in recent months around the effects of changes to the iOS operating system, which would increase privacy protections but make it harder to track users across the internet, therefore making targeted advertising used by social media companies less well targeted. However, Snap's growth managed to outpace those pricing headwinds. Daily users grew at 20% pace, led by the rest of the world segment, which saw users grow 41%. And average revenue per user even grew in spite of increased privacy protections, up 18% overall, led by 30%+ increases in pricing in both the US and Europe. Luke, who's been the loser this week?
Our biggest loser this week is New Relic, who are listed on the New York Stock Exchange under the tag NEWR. New Relic is a software as a service company, providing platforms for engineers to plan, build and deploy software worldwide. It offers a range of products with its open cloud-based platform. The company also provides pre-built dashboards and visualizations, as well as an ability to search across data types, create customized data boards, and build applications that can be shared and customized further. Effectively, it sells its products via direct sale organizations, online and offline sales. The company was founded in 2007 and its HQ is in San Francisco, California. And today, New Relic is down 24.94% and it's falling further. To put this into perspective, just a week ago, the share price was up to $112.95 and currently it's down at $82.30. This dramatic nearly quarter drop in share price happened on Tuesday as investors responded to the quarterly loss of 18 cents a share versus the estimate of 13 cents a share. And again, this is further down from the 14 cents a share loss just a year ago. However, revenues were up, beating estimates by 1.41%. And additionally, revenues were $166 million higher this year than last year. And over the last four quarters, the company has topped consensus revenue estimates every time. The most of this immediate price movement will be based on the management's commentary of the earnings call. And this is a prime example of a business growing well within a quarter, but forgetting to manage expectations around costs and profits effectively. So New Relic requires an operating model change, as a tech vendor cannot continue to expand and ramp up losses. Management must find additional scope on the revenue side, or begin to control costs. Lena, what is crucial is this next quarter, as it will provide many answers as to whether or not Q2 has just been a blip.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.